Selah, huh? Is that awesome? There's such a picture of how we should be declaring God's love. What He's done for us is so awesome. The Bible tells us God is love. 1 John 4:8. It's so clear. But how can we even begin to understand the kind of love that God has for us? I was thinking about this as I was preparing, as I was praying, and I think of all the things that I've lived through, that we have lived through in our lives, and the things that I've done. There are so many passages in the Bible that came to mind, but the best passage that I think that shows us the most unbelievable love that God has for us is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Wow. That's love. That's love. That is the most incredible love. See, one of the ways God shows us His love is through giving. God has given us love, not for us to hoard it, but to give it away. Now, just put my first slide up there, would you please? I titled this message, we've been remade. You have been remade. I have been remade. The day we said, Lord, come into our lives, whammo, bango, the stars, the fireworks went off, you were remade. And when you went under the waters of baptism, which they dunked me 5 times because every time they brought me up, they said, he's not done yet, and they put me back under. But it did what it needed to do. I was remade. I'm going to leave that screen up there a little bit because I want to talk to you, and then we're going to get into this. God sacrificed His only Son, Jesus Christ, His only Son, so that we who put our faith in Jesus will not spend eternity separated from Him. People need to know this. There's people out there. C.S. Lewis said this. I love this. Though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not. Mother Teresa, I love reading. I've got a book coming that, that she actually wrote, that so many people have said, you got to read it. But she said this, love is a fruit in season at all times and within reach of every hand. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're sitting here and you're stuck or you're new or you're going through something, Christians get stuck. I don't care if you've been saved 1 hour or 20 years, 30 years, you get stuck. I've been stuck. And we get stuck, and when we get stuck, we forget about God's love. God didn't partially save you. God did not partially forgive you. When you gave your life to Him, it was finished. It is over. And the grace, the unmerited grace that we get, this place is called abounding grace. The grace comes every day. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But He gives it to us. But people get hung up. Oh, I've been saved. I was forgiven. God forgave me for parts A and B, but He never forgave me for C. Hogwash! Amen. Don't buy into that lie. That's what gets you stuck. You are forgiven. And His grace is on you every day. And you know what? We don't have to earn it. God wants us to know that His love is unconditional. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us while we were yet sinners. We were sinners, and He still loved us so much that He sent His only Son that we might have everlasting life. We didn't have to get clean. We didn't have to make promises. We didn't have to sign contracts. His love has always existed. And because of that, He did all the giving and He did all the sacrificing long before we even were aware that we needed His love. Wow. God is love. And his love is very different from the human type of love that we know because it's unconditional. It's not based on feelings or emotions. He doesn't love us because we're lovable. Look at me. This can be unlovable. Sharon. I hear these little silent amens coming through over here. Do you know, Pastor Jay, that our brother-in-law, her brother Cliff, who pastors in Wyndham, and Linda, who's now been home with the Lord, the end of this month will be 5 years. When we were yet sinners, me and my wife, we had three young boys. I was very successful in my career. We were unlovable. And they used to come to our house. And we would see them coming, and I would say, quick, close the blinds, lock the doors. The Jesus freaks are coming. And I love my brother-in-law. I don't have a brother, and he's like the brother I never had. And she'd go, it's too late. The kids are waving in the window or something. And then they would come, and they would tell us, you need Jesus. You know, Jesus loves you. And I was born and raised a Catholic. Jesus, to me, was behind a curtain, behind a closed door that the priest had the key to. And when you unlocked it, the little door opened up. There was a chalice. And there were the little white wafers, and that was Jesus. Jesus was a white wafer to me. And you couldn't touch him.
No.
I'm not knocking Catholics. I went to Catholic school. I was an altar boy. Catholic church. I'm telling you, before government stepped in, the Catholic Church took care of people. And I pray that the Catholic Church comes back. I know priests that are saved. They're right here in the Capital District. But anyway, get back to my story. In came the Jesus freaks. And one day, say one day. They walked in the house. And they were there for 2 hours. And they never once mentioned Jesus. And I looked at my wife when they left and I said, we are going to hell. They didn't even mention Jesus. Little did we know that Pastor Cervello told them, just stop. Just give it to God. Let God's love come in. But we had an incident that took place in our family. We lost a niece to crib death. And it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and some of Sharon's family was over. And Cliff, my brother-in-law, was sitting at our kitchen table with me. And Sharon was in another room with her brother. And Cliff goes to me, Charlie, you have got to come to church. You have got to know, you and Sharon and your kids have got to come to know Jesus Christ. And I said, Cliff, let me tell you something. He goes, God loves you. I says, I already know God loves me. But the day I come into church, your church, especially Cervello's church, I said, the ground is going to have to shake, rock and roll, and swallow me up. Well, I no sooner got those words out of my mouth. This is back in the, what, 80s, early 80s? We had a wagon wheel light in our kitchen. And that wagon wheel light started to go like this. And I looked up, and then all of a sudden the house started to shake violently. And my brother-in-law Cliff's eyes got as big as saucers. If he were here, he'd tell you, I thought I was going to die getting him saved. And all of a sudden, the cabinet door started to shake and open up, and the dishes were shaking, and the whole house was shaking. And I'm there in my jockey shorts and robe. Now, I was restoring the home. You know, I had jacks downstairs, and I'm leveling floors and stuff. I thought I did something wrong. Big, brave Charlie runs out of the house, yelling to my kids and wife, get out of the house, it's falling off its foundation. And I'm running around with my robe wide open, and my neighbor's a nurse, and she's cracking up in the window, because there I am. This must have been a sight. It's amazing what God will put you through, because he loves you. Do you know it was the first time we've ever had an earthquake in the Mohawk Valley? It was because I opened my big mouth. I honestly, am I telling the truth, Sharon? The words no sooner came out of my mouth. So I walked back in the house, and I looked at Cliff, and I says, what time is service on Sunday? We got radically saved, didn't we? It was awesome. God loves us so much. He just loves us. Put up the first screen, please. I know it. There we go. I love this scripture. 1 John 4:19 and 20. We love because God loved us first. But if we say we love God and we don't love each other, we're liars. Oh, Pastor Jay, thank you for bringing this guy in. We cannot see God. So how can we love God if we don't love the people we can see? The commandment that God has given us is love God and love each other. We're to love each other. If you can't love each other in this room, how can you love the people outside in the room? Next slide. We love him because he first loved us. The heart of Jesus is love, and he loves his children, you and I. As we come to know him more and more, we want to return that love to him and to others. See, there's a principle here I'm going to show you. Next slide. These are the words to a song. You guys started to play the music here. Bill Johnson's church in California, they got a youth group called Jesus Culture. And I was hearing you start, before we started service, I thought I heard one of the songs being played. And this is some of the words off of one of their albums. By his stripes, he's paid our ransom. From his wounds, we drink salvation. Wow. Romans 5:8, I said it to you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love for us is unconditional. And by the way, God's love is everlasting. There is not an expiration date on God's love. Well, he loved me at one time. He doesn't love me. Stop it. Stop talking yourselves into corners. Stop getting yourselves stuck sometimes. Someone said to me one time, who's your worst enemy? The guy I look at in the mirror every morning. Sometimes Satan says, oh, I don't have to worry about him today. He's doing a great job on himself. God desires us to love one another. But look at this. Look at this. Next slide, please. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. In the exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. It's a principle. And when as I read this, I said, oh, wow, this is so simple. Everybody complicates things. They write all these books and stuff. You know, I'm not against books, but you know, the best book we have is the Bible. First, he takes our lives and he sows his love into us. Then he expects a harvest of love in us. He expects what he sows in us and waters in us, that it will harvest inside of us so that in turn we'll sow those seeds of love into other people. That's what it's all about. Someone said, well, you know, I'd come to your church, but it's complicated. Really? It's not. Wow. Look at this. Next slide, please. You and I were created that God could express his love to us and we could respond with love. That's what this is all about. He gives us this love so that we can respond with love. And this scripture says it all. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled unto all fullness of God. Who wants to be filled with all fullness of God? Come on. I want all that love. I want to be able to be a sprinkler of God's love. That's what it's all about. Listen, I deal with people every day at the warehouse. We have 139 vendors. I got people from the streets coming in, and we're helping everybody. And some people are just unlovable. And God says to me every morning, you know what I say to God every morning? I'm driving in the car. Help me. Because if this was the Old West, I'd be out of ammunition by now. God goes, no, you're going to love them. You can love them. All right, God, you got to help me. I can't do this on my own strength. I want to love like you love, Jesus. I want them to see the compassion in my eyes. I want them to hear your voice and my voice. Look at this. Next, please. John 5:15. You know, it's a story. It's the story about the vine and the branches. People say to me, who are you in Christ? A branch. What? I'm a branch. I'm one of many branches. But I am attached to the vine. And you know what I love about this parable? Verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nada. You cut yourself off from that vine, one of two things is going to happen to you. You're going to look pretty good for a while, but eventually you're going to shrivel up, fall away, become the most miserable person that you've ever seen. People will say, look at that person. Looks like their mother weaned them on a dill pickle. Or, worse than that, in my opinion, you will graft yourself to something else that you will be sorry for. We cannot love like Jesus on our own. We've got to be plugged in to the vine. We cannot do anything on our own, in our own Christian life, without Jesus. I have got to stay plugged in. People say to me, you're brainwashed. Yeah, I know. I sure am. I'm brainwashed for Christ. So slap me across the head with a brick. I don't care. You're not going to change who I am. God's grace every day comes to me. It's unmerited. I don't earn it. And it keeps coming. And people try to come against me. Even Christians. They get jealous. I don't know what goes on in their mind. I thought we were all on the same team. Obviously we're not. That's another message called unity. But look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Next slide, please. The missionary James Hudson Taylor. You want to read about somebody's life? You've got to read this guy's life. Unbelievable. He called it the exchanged life. Hudson believed that he must move men through God by prayer. You want to love? You want to be successful? You got to pray. You want to move people? You got to pray. We don't do anything without prayer. We don't make a move without prayer. At Redeemer Church, Pastor Mike, one of the things I love about him, he'll say, I haven't heard from God yet. And everything looks good, but he'll say, I have not heard God. We need to pray. We need to pray. We've got to listen for God's voice. God will speak to you in prayer. Problem is, we get in prayer and do all the talking. We forget to listen. The Bible calls it the still small voice. You know, when I get into the shelter under his wing, when I get into that safe place where I need to be, God starts to speak to me. In Nehemiah, the story about Nehemiah, I'm just going to get sidetracked a little bit. You know, when everybody was coming against him, he just said, bless him, bless him, bless him. Don't worry about it. And the provision of God came. One of the biggest people that fought us at Compassion Coalition, man, he said, he threatened me on the phone. He was going to shut us down, and he was going to do this. And I go to him, how are you going to shut us down? I'll get your grants cut off. I says, how? We're grant-free. God has provided us. We're debt-free. We're grant-free. We're self-sustaining. And I felt in my spirit say, come on, bring it on. What else you got, buddy? If God be for me, who can be against me? God didn't take me out this far to take me back again. He hasn't forgotten me. The Bible says that our names are inscribed in the palm of his hands. Amen. Hey, who are you going to go to war with? Your intelligence and who you are? Well, I'm a PhD. Great. I got the best physician, Jesus Christ. He makes a way for me where there seems to be no way. He goes before me. What a calling card to have. Oh, Lord, going to be a rough one today. That's all right. I'm going before you. I'll make a path. Just stand behind me. This guy, for 2 years, gave me nothing but grief. And one day, his grants got all cut off. And he called me up and he says, I'm going to have to close my doors. I can't keep my pantry open. I says, no, you're not. He says, I'll have 18 pallets of food to your door by 1 o'clock this afternoon. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. By 1 o'clock, and he's there. He goes, I can't pay you. I says, I don't want you to pay me. Feed the people. And to this day, we are best of friends. God be the glory. He goes, why are you doing this? I've been a thorn in your side. I says, I welcome thorns. I says, but this is for God. This is not for you. It's not for me. It's for the kingdom of God. God get the glory on this. And to this day, we still help them and they're doing great. It's God's love. It's unconditional. He goes, what can I do for you? Nothing. Then I thought a minute and I says, there's one thing you can do for me. He says, what's that? I said, take me off your speed dial. He got the hint. Look at this. Look at this. Next slide, please. 1 John 3:19. When we love others, we know that we belong to the truth. And as we feel at ease in the presence of God, and we feel at ease in the presence of God. Verse 20. But even if we don't feel at ease, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we feel at ease in the presence of God, we will have the courage to come near to Him. He will give us whatever we ask because we obey Him and we do what pleases Him. Next slide, please. How can we love like Jesus loves? We've got to know who we are. If I had my wallet on me, because my chiropractor says don't keep your wallet in your back pocket. I don't know, I sit straighter now, I guess. I don't know. I could pull out my wallet, pull out my New York State driver's license, and it would say on there, you know, that I can drive a car, I can drive a motorcycle, that I live at this address, and that I'm so tall, certain color eyes. I know my identity in the world. But we get into the kingdom of God, and we sometimes forget who we are. Do you know you're King's kids? That you were bought with a price? That you were washed with the blood of the Lamb? That you might have everlasting life? That you have a ticket to heaven? That you have joy and mercies are new every morning? And that He gives you the sword of the Lord that you can cut through anything? And when the enemy comes against you, He's going to be there for you? But you know what? You've got to find out who you are. You've got to know that you're victorious. Look it. If you read this thing, you know the end. We win. Oh, Pastor, you don't know. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Grow up! I'm not belittling it. I've been there myself. I got friends around the country. They're in my safe group. And I get on the phone. Oh, you don't know what I go. Charlie, shut up. We don't say shut up in the kingdom of God. Yes, we do. I surround myself with friends that keep me maturing, going forward. I don't want to fall backwards. I don't want the enemy to come in and set a trap for me and I get trapped. I need to know who I am in Christ. The Bible says I am victorious. The Bible says I'm a king's kid. The Bible says I don't have to get on my hands and knees and pick up the scraps on the ground. I can sit at the banqueting table and everything that's there is mine. Because He gives it to us freely. Because He so loves us. Who does God say you are? Are you okay? Can I give you some of these? I had like 36 of them. I had to stop. So I'm not giving you 36 of them. So breathe. First one. God says, I am free. You're free. You're free. Look at this. Isaiah 49, verses 24 through 25. Who can snatch the prey from the hands of the mighty man? Who can demand that a tyrant let his captives go? But the Lord says, even the captives of the most mighty and most terrible shall be freed. For I will fight those who fight you, and I will save your children. You have a promise from God. Those that come against you, He will fight. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I'm free. Let me lay hands around your neck. You are free! Wake up! You're free. When you said, Jesus, come into my life, Jesus, come and have your way, He sets you free. And you are free from the yoke of slavery. You are free from those things that held you back. Look at this. Look at this. Next slide. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Galatians 4:7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. You know, some ladies feel, well, I'm left out. They get me on this. Well, I'm left out. It only says if I'm a son. No, 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 no. Don't play that game with me. If you're a son or a daughter, and if a son, then you're an heir through God. You are not an heir. God didn't create you, and when you were born, He didn't say, oops. You're not a mistake. You're not an heir. You're an heir to the throne. You're the seed of Abraham. Abraham was promised. Take a look around you. Look at the stars. As far as you can see, if it's yours, we are heirs to that. Oh, so you're having a little money problem. Pray your way through it. Where's your faith? Uh-oh, I'm offending some people. The Bible says it's impossible that offenses will not come. So I tell you today, build a bridge and get over it. I'm speaking to you. I'm trying to get people to understand. Don't get stuck. Don't let the enemy stick you. You got to know who you are. Look at this, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Don't be a reed that blows in the wind. In whatever way the wind blows you, you go. Eventually, you're going to snap. Plant your feet firmly. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Wow. Right there, I can stop right there. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm pumped. I am free. I was bound. I was bound up. I let man dictate my life. I let situations dictate my life. That's ridiculous. I watched. You know Rex and 2 young boys. They were come up. A couple in our family took them. They were foster children. I looked at them and I said, how old are they? 4 and 5? He goes, no, 1's 10, 1's 9. Stunted the lives that they lived. The mother and father and the aunts and the uncles sexually abused them. They would throw stones and bricks at them for games to make them run and just so berated them that they actually stopped. It stunted their growth. Max and Jeremy, Rex and Jeremy. I watched these kids. They were not free. They were bound. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, that's how Satan does it. He just berates you and he keeps you in shackles. And he speaks negatively to you. And he puts negativity all around you. And he beats you. And he just beats you into submission. And you get stunted. You stop growing. And God says, it's done. It's finished. Those children got rescued and they grew and they're flourishing and they have jobs, and that's what God does for us. He so loves us. We got to get that deep inside of us so that when we go through our trials and tribulations, when I used to read that scripture, it says, count it all joy. I'd go, yeah, okay, count this joy. Now I can count it joy. Because I know, God, this is only going to last for a while. And if you're for me, who can be against me? We're going to get through this. I am free. Look at this. Look at this. Next one, please. God says, you are forgiven. And you have my unmerited grace. You're forgiven. Isaiah 44:22, I have swept away your sins like the morning mist. I have scattered your offenses like the clouds. Oh, return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free. Jesus forgave the 2 thieves on both sides of him with the cross. On the cross. Forgiven. God says, it's finished, folks. Please say, it's finished. I don't care what, you know what, I shouldn't say I don't care. I know we all live through things. We've lived through things. We've just come through some things. But you know what? I am forgiven. And I can't speak to my past anymore because that's exactly what it is, the past. But people keep going back to the past. I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? Draw a line in the sand, do something, but stop going back in the past. It's over with. You're forgiven. I got people that are hung up. What's wrong? I don't know. I just can't get it through me. I don't think God's forgiven me. Stop it. You have been forgiven. Look at this. Look at this. Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. This is God speaking, saying, I don't remember your sins anymore, so what are you doing? Amen. I have forgiven you. This is not me making this stuff up. This is out of the Bible. It's like the spaghetti sauce. Remember the commercial in the 80s? It's in there. For those of you that don't know, Jesus was Italian, and this book is one spicy Italian meatball. Let me tell you, it's in there. I told you the story about Jesus being Italian, right? Did I ever tell it here in this church? I can prove he was Italian. He hung around with the 12 guys, same 12 guys all of his life. He lived at home with his parents till he was 30. Best of all, his mother thought he was God. Dispute that. Anyway, next slide, please. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He. That's how much he loves us. Look at this. Next one, please. Here I am before you, fallen in love and seeking your truth. Knowing that your perfect grace has brought me to this place, because of you I freely live. My life to you, O God, I give. So stand before you, God, I lift my voice, because you set me free. That's lyrics out of a song from Jesus' culture. It says it so well. Because of you, I freely live my life. To you, O God, I stand before you, God. I lift my voice because you have set me free. Next slide, please. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, oh my God, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Man, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my needs, in my persecutions and distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's going to come. Listen, life is not pleasant at times. Life happens. But you have a promise from God. Well, he's not coming through for me. Well, be patient. I remember Lynn, our sister-in-law. Breast cancer, 18 hours of surgery all in one pop. She gets a year where she starts to rebound. Then the next thing you know, lung cancer, cancer in the liver. Next thing you know, cancer of the brain. And they had to start radiating her brain, which meant they had to stop radiating her lungs. And the stuff was growing inside of her body. And through all of this, her head is red as, looked like the top of a cop car, the revolving light. It burned so bad when she would get her radiation. She looked me in the eyes and she said, Charlie, I win no matter what. If God heals me, I get a brand new body. If he takes me home, I get a brand new body. Because God heals. She died believing. And she wasn't bitter. She wasn't angry. Because God set her free. She was bought with a price. I don't know why my wife in 1995 was healed, dramatically healed. I don't know why my sister-in-law went home to be with the Lord. I don't know if I'll ever know. But it's never going to stop me from believing that through my God, all things are possible through him who strengthens me. Where two or more are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. The Bible says it is impossible for our God to lie. But Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Who are you going to believe? Look at this. God says we are his children, and he loves and he accepts us. Another lyric from the song. Higher than the mountains I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial and change, one thing remains. Next slide. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. He cares. Every morning I get up and I know I got to go in. Last night we're on our way down here and I was being attacked. Some things that we've got going down here in our Albany campus attacked, and the Lord just said, give it over to me. And I did. I said, you know what? God, you're in control. I'm doing the best I can with this. You have strengthened me through this. I am not going to worry. Now, I slept like a rock last night. Some people lay in bed, oh, been there. Can't turn the mind off. And God says, 5 o'clock in the morning, well, you didn't have any sleep last night, right? Right? Well, if you would have given it over to me, you would have. Next slide, please. 1 John 3:1. Think how much the Father loves us. He loves us so much that he lets us be called his children, and we truly are. Isaiah 43:1-2, but now the Lord who created you says, don't be afraid, for I've ransomed you. I have called you by name. Next slide. Look at this. I love this scripture. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you because you are precious to me and honored, and I love you. I told you it was going to be simple. But sometimes, even I and my wife, all of us, we need to be reminded of God's love. Got to get these scriptures inside of you. Next slide, please. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins, then in exchange he poured God's goodness into us. Again, different version I'm giving you. Next slide, please. God says we are justified and redeemed. God did it for us out of sheer generosity, put in us right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be, and he did it by means of Jesus Christ. Wow, it's out of the Message Bible, Romans 3:24. Look at this next thing. Look at the next one. God says, you are his children who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow! I love this one. God says, you're sealed. Ephesians 1:3. It is in Christ that you once heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. I am signed, sealed, and delivered. Can I give you one more? Yeah. One more. Next one. For God says, oh, I lied. I've got two more. That I have been chosen by him, and I am holy and beloved. Colossians 3:12. You are holy, and you are beloved. So, chosen by God for this new life, life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Wow, I want to put that on every day. I have people say to me, you're different. Something's happened to you. Yeah, man, I'll tell you, man, you used to get in my way. Chop, chop. God says, you can't chop, chop like that anymore. I do the chop, chop. You do the love, love. Honestly, I have to go to court tomorrow night for something concerning our church. Someone's bringing something against the church. And our attorney, Dominic Bregnola, many of you know him, pastors in Troy, pastor of a great church in Troy. He said to me, now, Pastor C, he calls me Pastor C, you have to behave yourself tomorrow night. I don't want you in contempt in court. And I don't want to have to bail you out. I'm like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to muzzle me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, my love is perfect, and through this shall come salvation. And I got to go there and shut up tomorrow night. I'd be good. Because someone's going to get saved. Maybe it's the judge. Who knows? With God, we never know. But we got to be perfect examples. We've got to bleed love. We've got to just... ooze love. You know, you remember that slime? You know, slime, that gooky. The Lord says, just slime them with my love. You know, when they said they anointed someone in the Bible, that meant that they rubbed. They're going to rub that love in there. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. Because I want to see Christ shine through everything I do. Look at this, the last one. I know this is the last one. God says, I am his workmanship. Say, I am. God's workmanship. I have been created to produce good works. I have been remade. Last scripture. Ephesians. Oh, no, go back. Yes. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. He prepared them beforehand that we could walk in them. Last slide. You are more than the choices you have made. You're going to hear this in this last closing song. You are more than the choices you have made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You have been remade. If I'm doing anything today, I'm cheerleading you. And what I'm going to do is we're going to play this closing video. Please don't leave. Just hang in there 1 second. Listen to the words that are being sung here. Now, this is written about a young lady, but it's about all of us. And you're going to see why when you see this beautiful, beautiful. It's the same group that I opened with, same group I'm going to close with. I want you to think about what was spoken here today. The destiny, as I was praying this morning, my wife was in the shower, the destiny upon this church is incredible. You might look around you and say, what's the big deal? We're a nice little local church. I, who come and go, say, wow, look at what's been given to you. There's been a lot of sacrifice. But God is saying that this house is going to be known as a house of love, where people are going to come and they're going to be set free. And it's not just from the preaching, from the pulpit. It's not from all these wonderful things that God has bestowed upon you. But God showed me, by the Spirit of God, God said, way back when, you decided, we're going to make this happen. Through our God, all things are possible. God said, I'm partnering with you. And because he partnered with you, there's a breaker anointing on this church. What I mean by that is, nothing is going to stop you from attaining what God has for you, both in your personal lives and as a corporate in this church, because God's love and God's anointing is on this house. God has washed the slate clean in your lives. His tears. When I think about my life and what I was going through and what I was doing, it says that the Lord cries for, that he weeps for us. And his tears, I just see his tears coming down upon my life and just washing away. Through his grace, just washing away. I make mistakes. But God's mercies are new every morning. His grace is there. I don't use his grace like a credit card. I don't go out and sin and pull the grace card and run the grace card. That's not how it's supposed to be. God's grace is there for us, that we're trying our best and we're doing the things that we believe he's got us doing, and we're going through life and we mess up here and there, and his grace just comes upon us and he says, don't worry about it. I knew your heart. I knew your motivation. God is with us. He's never against us. That's why we have to know our identity. That's why we have to know who we are. This church has got an identity. This church has got a calling. This church has got a mission. I remember coming here one time and saying, man, I'm telling you, the schools are going to be opened up to you. Government is going to be opened up to you. Don't take the words of the Lord lightly. Sorry, every time I see that, I get choked up because I didn't deserve to have my slate wiped clean. And it was wiped clean, and God's grace just comes like that. When I see that, I just think of God's tears for us, because we're doing all that we can for him to see the kingdom of God be established in our homes and our neighborhoods and our cities and our towns and our villages. We can make a difference because of God's love, because of his grace, and because of his mercy. Why don't you just bow our heads? Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord God, for wiping our slates clean. Lord, that we might be the harvesters of your love in us, Lord God, that we will give it out freely, Lord God. We will declare your love from the building tops, from the mountaintops, Lord God Jesus. But more importantly, we will live your love, Lord God. People will see you through our actions, through our words. Lord, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I pray for those that are stuck this morning that, Lord, they saw these young men singing and saw the video images, Lord God Jesus. Lord, and heard your scriptures and even the humor that we heard today, Lord God. But Lord, we pray it breaks off the shackles of slavery. We break off those things that Satan tries to put on the folks that will stop them from moving forward, Lord God Jesus, declaring your word, laying hands upon the sick, seeing recovery, seeing miracles, signs, and wonders that have been bestowed upon this house, Lord God Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now for each and every person in this house. Bless them and anoint them, Lord God Jesus. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. I pray that the Word of God has gotten deep in your hearts today, and that you will be the dispensers of God's love and compassion to everyone you encounter. It's an honor to be here. We love you. God bless you.